Father, we thank you. We give you praise for another opportunity to learn at your feet. Cause our hearts to be receptive to your word. Cause our ears to be open. Speak expressly to us, reaching out to everyone as only you can. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about solid parenting, and I want to start by appreciating God for this privilege to be here this morning. I want to thank our pastor and his amazing wife, Pastor David PDO, and our dear mommy, Pastor Faith, for this opportunity that you have given to me to be here. I bring greetings from my dear, darling husband, my amazing children, and of course, my own pastor, who permitted me to be here on a Sunday morning. This month of June is a special month for me because it's the month of my anniversary. And it will be 14 years of God's faithfulness. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful to God because some of us started out the journey of marriage like, okay, let's do it. But 14 years, and we're having dinner like 2 weeks ago, all together on the dining, my husband, myself, and our two children. And they said, they were counting down for us. They said, it's about 24 days. Then I said, no, it's 25 days. No, so you won't count the anniversary day now. You won't count that one. So you count it like this, to mommy and daddy's anniversary. And then my son, who is even the smallest, who is just going to be 11 in October, said, it feels like yesterday. I said, what do you know? You were not even born. He said, it feels like only yesterday you people were married. Can you imagine? For somebody who was not even in the picture at all, who would even know will ever exist? He said, it feels like yesterday. But, you know, to us, then what will we say? Praise God. It's been 14 years of God's mercy, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and we're just basking in his love. Praise the Lord. And even though I've been married for 14 years, I've been privileged to be a mother for much more than that. Not to biological children, don't be afraid. Praise the Lord. I've had children way before I even got married. And even started with my siblings because my mom went to be with the Lord many years ago. And I had to step in and be a mother to my siblings. And God has been faithful. So when PDO reached out to me and said that he would want to have me come speak about solid parenting, I didn't feel like I wasn't up for it. I knew that God had prepared me for a day like this. And I want you to please take seriously everything that you will hear today. Look beyond the person giving you the message and know that I've been sent by someone. He will definitely need to pass the message through someone, and he has found me worthy today. So please look beyond me and listen to what God will have you hear this morning. Praise the Lord. And I understand that we're watching from our Lagos church, our Abuja church. Praise the Lord. I hope you people are also following. So we're looking at solid parenting. I've added something to it: in a shifting world. Solid parenting in a shifting world. And then I've given another caption to say that solid parenting in a shifting world can also be termed as building a godly legacy. Solid parenting in a shifting world, building a godly legacy. Now, if the entire aim of getting married, betting children, and raising them is not for the purpose of legacy, go back and start again. You have missed it in the first place. Now, let me tell you that immediately PDO told me about this, I started putting my notes together. The first analogy that God gave me was so sweet, and I put it down. And yesterday when I saw the flyer, I laughed. Can we have the flyer up? So we start from there. Maybe it will take a little time. Why we wait for that? How many of us agree that our world is shifting? How many of us agree that the way we were raised is not the way children now are raised? How many of us have heard of gentle parenting? Let me see your hand. Gentle parenting. How many of us believe in gentle parenting? Let me see your hand well, sir. Okay. How many people believe that it is better to raise them the way we were raised? How many people are not sure which one they should do? Some people are not sure. If you're not sure, it's okay not to be sure. Even me, if you ask me, I'm not sure I even know. How many people do a mix? You are gentle and you're old school. Praise the Lord. I'm gentle. I'm old school. I mix the two. The situation determines what I do. There's a time to spank. There's a time to just sit down and talk. Praise God. But in all, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Wisdom is profitable too. So it is wisdom that tells you what to do per time. Now let's go back to that flyer. It was up just now. So let's wait, because I was talking and it went off. So I won't talk again. Let's just wait. Now that's the flyer. Tell me what you see. When I first saw this, I said, this is so colorful. Is it because it's a family service? And then immediately I caught it and I was so excited. Tell me what you see on the flyer. A child being held by two hands. Okay, father and mother. Okay, I didn't even see that, but I'm seeing it now. Okay, somebody else, tell me what you can see. A home. Where's the home? Is that a home? That's a house. That's a structure. Right? That, sadly, is what many of us have. A house. We make the mistake of calling it a home. But it is not a home until you have moved from seeing the structure to putting things in place. That's when it becomes a home. At that point, what we are seeing there is the building. But some of us don't even have a building. Until you have the building, you can't even talk of interior decoration. We are building a children's church. Can we call it a children's church at this point? It's the picture that we see. It's the picture that we have that it should be a children's church. But that building is not enough to make it a children's church. We finish the building, we do extra things before it becomes a children's church. So some of us have stopped at the point where we think it's about getting married, getting pregnant, and having children. So that you can prove to your in-laws that you are fertile. So that you can prove to the people in secondary school that ditched you that you can marry and you can give birth. Or you can prove to your husband's side chick that you can give birth to more children than she can for him. Different reasons people have. But you see, marriage, relationship, giving birth to children, raising those children is what we call parenting. There are many people that have brought in multiple seeds into this world. They are not parents. They are just the people who naturally gave birth to those children. It doesn't make them parents. A parent is somebody who understands first and foremost that this is a ministry that God has given me. First, you become a Christian and God hands you the ministry of reconciliation. The moment you get married and you start having children, God gives you a ministry of parenting. It's a ministry, full-blown ministry. And the reason why we have the kind of children we have now that we think are a menace to our society is because parents have failed to take hold of this ministry and walk right by it. And it's not what anybody can do for you. It's a ministry that God has given to you. You don't need a PA. You don't need an assistant. You don't need commissioner for works. You don't need commissioner for entertainment. You must be all of these things by yourself. It is a full-time responsibility. So somebody will say, if it's a full-time responsibility, am I not going to work? Is there anybody here who is doing evangelism and is not doing something else? Apart from PDO, even PDO is in evangelism, is doing prayer, is doing so many others, is doing Father to Princess Joy. Tell me one person here whose sole aim is ministry of reconciliation and you're not doing any other thing in this world. But you see, the ministry of parenting is a full-time ministry. So if you do not devote yourself to it, you will build a legacy that will haunt you before you die, haunt your generations to come. That's how serious we should take this ministry. So when God gives me a spouse, forget that thing that people will say that after Adam accused Eve, God now stopped giving. I don't know who taught you people that thing. You know. God is still in the business of giving. If you go and find by yourself, whatever you find, you will carry. Me shall I know that God particularly carried me and gave to his son to take good care of me. 14 years, no regret. If I had gone to choose by myself, I will not choose my husband. Lie. I will never choose my husband. Not because he's not a good man. Not because he did not have money. He's too quiet. He's not the kind of person I want to get married to. I wanted somebody tall. He's not short, if you know my husband. But I wanted, you know, the people we call TDH. That when they just come out like this, you say, man, now my guy. You know those people that will go to gym as they are coming out, you are feeling it. Have you ever seen Pastor Jerry when he comes out of the gym? Even though he's not as tall. So imagine Pastor Jerry's kind of build, but tall. You know that kind of thing, as you say, baby, let's go. People will know that. You understand what I'm talking about? So I had my list, and by my list, this son of man did not qualify. He did not qualify. And to start with, I was not looking for bro in a church. Of course, I knew that it would be somebody who is a child of God. But if I tell you the story, it will shock you. I decided to gift myself a gift on one of my birthdays. I was not a member of Foundation Faith. But my friend had told me about their Bible school. So I said, okay, I will gift myself a birthday gift in August. I will go for their Bible school, August special, CFBI. I went for CFBI. I was not a member of the church. I was chosen as the prefect of the class with another brother who is a member of the church. That brother was in the same evangelism department as my husband. And CFBI finished completely. And he kept knocking on my husband, say, there's this girl. She's not in our church, but you need to meet her. As I say, I don't do arrangy things. You know me. Just don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. He says, see, just meet her first. If nothing happens, then we thank God. My husband said, don't worry. I'm not even interested. Don't worry. He said, no, marry our church person. See this one. I believe that it's God's desire for you. My husband said, don't worry now. You have done it. It's okay. Little did I know that at that point, I was Ruth, that was Boaz. And God just, in my mind, I was gifting myself. But you see the thing, then I was actually searching for God. I didn't go there to look for Manu. Now, after he had convinced brother that he was not interested, only he came to look for me on Facebook. Found me on Facebook And the first thing that interested him was that my profile picture was a picture of myself and my dad. And he asked himself a question. Which girl in this generation will post a picture of herself and her father as profile picture? First attraction. Some of you, go to your profile picture now. God forbid that some of you have even blocked PDO. On WhatsApp, he cannot view the kind of things you put there. When the bro is now looking for you, how will he reconcile what he's seeing with the person that shouts glory on Sunday? And it's easy to laugh, but do you know that some of us who have even found an appearance, there's nothing to write home about. The things you say, the things you do, the things you don't do, all are a testament that you are building nothing. So, like I said, it's a full-time job, full-time ministry, and you must commit completely to it. Just as a well-built house withstands the storms, intentional and biblically grounded parenting will provide children with the stability and guidance that they need to thrive. The world is shifting. The world is changing. But let me tell you the truth. It will continue to shift and change till the coming of our Lord Jesus. No matter how much you pray. No matter how much you pray. Hard times will not stop. You see, danger, it will be on the increase. Evil, it will be on the increase. Because the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Nothing will change it. Not even our prayer. Men will become lovers of themselves. Men will become boastful. Evil will spread like wildfire. It will look like what is good. It will be the common thing to find around. It's not going to change. But what will change is the kind of people we are building and raising. Evil will not stop. Evil will not change. What will change is the kind of people, the generation that we are raising. So ask yourself this question: what kind of generation am I raising? To build the house that we saw, or the home, like you called it, to build a legacy that you will be proud of, and most of all, Jesus will be proud of, you must lay a solid foundation. That foundation is on love, unconditional love. Let's read Psalm 127 and verse 3, so that you will not say, PDA brought somebody that just talked and didn't read scripture. Because I know that in New Breed, we can do 10 hours studying. So I'm not going to change that. Psalm 127 and verse 3. What our technology is doing to us. Not yet. So laying the foundation, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What do you do with a reward? When you are rewarded, what do you do with that reward? Church, let's talk. If I reward you, what do you do with your reward? You do what? You take care of it. You treasure it. That's what we should do with children. All those parents that like to toss ogo. The child has not cough. You have hit the ogo. I see some parents on the road. If you see the way they are dragging the child, even a thief is not dragged like that. You know, they work fast? Waiting they worry you? Waiting they do you? Waiting no they do the picking? Because you have already killed the child. Some will, out of anger, the way they will hold the child from the arm, you will think that the arm will just dislocate before they get home. Sometimes I'm almost wanting to stop my car, and I will not say it's not your fight. It's not your fight, especially in Nigeria. Because the next thing they'll tell you, waiting concern you. Now you, now me and you, Bonham. So sometimes you're careful, but it's so painful that a reward that God has given to you, you are treating it carelessly. No treasure. When my child goes for a competition and comes back with a medal, they're almost not sleeping, especially my daughter. She's almost not sleeping that day. She will look at it. She will analyze it. She will compare it to the previous one. Most of the time, I'm out with her. So I've seen it. She said, Mom, can you look at it again? Do you notice that the ribbon is different this time? The other one has green and blue, like this one has red and orange. She's waiting for her dad to return. The moment he returns, Daddy, are you going to change now? Before, don't you know he will change? But she's just anxious. She wants to show you what she has brought back, her reward for hard work. The moment she's done showing him and everybody's rejoicing, the next thing she'll say is, Mommy, are you too tired? If I say I'm not too tired, she say, please, can you hang my medal for me? Because in our parlor, we have a section where all their medals, all their plaques and everything. She said, please, can you hang it for me? She wants it up there. She wants everybody that comes to see. She wants to look at it. From time to time, she's counting. And she's telling herself, I've not met up. Oh, I said by yesterday, I won 20. I'm still at 15. That's somebody who values their reward. How are you valuing the reward that God has given you? It doesn't matter whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're a single parent. It doesn't matter. Circumstance notwithstanding, understand that this child or these children are a gift. And I must treat them as a gift. Praise the Lord. So I said, by laying the foundation, the first thing to do is understand that you must love these children unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. Please, if you are a parent here, you're in Lagos, you're in Abuja, you're online watching, and there's any child of yours that came to beg you, Mommy, bring me into this world, raise your hand. Any child, one, maybe one out of your four children, came particularly and begged you, say, Mommy, bring me into this world. Let me see your hand. Nobody. You were the one that went to bring them. You were the one that cried like Hannah to God. You were the one that said, behold, Penina is mocking me. You were the one. Of course, there can never be any Jesus. No one will be born like him. So you were the one that carried yourself and surrendered to a man and said, I'm ready. Maybe you were abused, just maybe. But all the same, you were blessed and rewarded with the fruit of the womb. Love that child unconditionally. Love that child unconditionally. Some people hate their children because of the circumstances surrounding their birth. Is it the child's fault? A man in the Bible was named Jabez. Why? Because I bore him out of sorrow. Is it the child's fault? Is the child aware? Does the child know what is happening? Love that child unconditionally. I know people, I mean family, that have children with special need. And I see them love these children. And I see the children blossom. And I'm wondering, if it was me, will I love this child like this? This boy in particular is celebrated everywhere. He's not in Nigeria. But now he's celebrated everywhere. He plays the keyboard. He participates in inter-house sports. He does everything a regular child does. Remember what I said? A what? Regular child. I didn't say a normal child. Every child is normal. Every child born into this world is a gift from God and is normal. It may not be your regular child. May not be as smart as you want, but that child is normal. And that child is unique and gifted by God. If you don't start on that, your parenting on that foundation of unconditional love, you'll miss it. If you don't start on that basis of unconditional love, you will find yourself loving one and hating the other. No two children are the same. My son is a very sharp boy. My daughter is super intelligent. I don't compare them. He's slower in his delivery. She has speed in her delivery, but they both deliver. That's what's important. They both deliver. They may not deliver at the same time. It doesn't concern me. Is he delivering? Yes. End it there. If you don't start parenting on the basis of unconditional love, you will kill one child. You will love the one and hate the other for no reason. Every child is gifted, special, and unique in their own way. Love them unconditionally. That's the way that Christ loved us and gave himself for us. There were men who were good. There were men, I believe, who were morally good. There were men who we could term as righteous, but he died for them all the same. They were the ones who, like Saul, had killed people and done a lot of atrocities. He died for them the same. So who are you to judge that child? Who are you to condemn that child? Who are you to say which child should be loved as against the other? Build your home on the basis of unconditional love. Praise the Lord. Now, when we say love, we're not saying spoil. There's a difference between loving a child and spoiling the child. For Christians, we don't spoil our children. We love them. That love includes correction. That love includes discipline. That love includes affirmation. That love includes acceptance. That love includes appraisal. Right? So when I spank my child, I do it because I love the child. When I gift my child, I do it because I love the child. Love is not spoil. Now, my dad told us a story of a young boy or a lady who had just one child, a son, who apparently she had waited for years to have. He used to be the head usher of the church then. And so when every child goes to the children's department, the woman will say no. That her child must stay with her in the adult church. He was restless. He will make noise. He will distract. Ushers will try to she will say, no, her son cannot go to children's church. Oh. My dad is a very strong disciplinarian. So one day, he said he just told the ushers, jack that boy and send him out of church to children's department. So the ushers jacked him and sent him to children's department. The woman was angry, so she got up, stormed out of church, took her son and left, and never came back. Ushered at Bible church then. Never returned. Years after, my dad was invited to minister in School of Nursing, Port Harcourt, and he went there. And this woman was there. Recognized him, he didn't even know her anymore. And then, when he was done, she said, sir, please, can I join you to, I'll stop at so-so-so junction? He said, yes, why not? I said, sir, it's like you don't know me. My dad said, no, I don't know you. I don't remember. He said, I know you don't remember me. And she called her name. My dad screamed. I said, what? You're here? She said, yes. Oh, how are you? I said, I'm fine. I said, what happened now? You left church? She was angry. Can my dad remember that incident? My dad said, yes. Ah, is that why you left? No, now things should be done, this and that, you know, that in the house of God. Oh, so sorry, so sorry. He said, no, sir, it's okay. What of your son? He said, he died. He died. My dad said, he did what? Sir, he died, though. He died. I don't have anything again. That child that she held on to, that was her everything, he still died. Not even in a good way. Because she had messed up his whole life thinking that she loved him. That child that she didn't want to mix up with anybody, he died. Died without God. And here she was alone. Now back to God. So love is not spoiled. When you think that your children are too special, they are special, more special than any other children. My son wasn't even feeling too well this past week, but his class was scheduled on Children's Day to go to the orphanage. I said, you must go. You will be coughing, but you will go because you need to experience it. He said, yes, mommy. My teacher says that when we go, we will experience the other side of life. We will see the other side of life. I say, it's true. Go. And he came back with tears in his eye. I said, yes, that's the point. That's why you need to go, so you stay grateful. Because what you think you don't have, what we have not given you is PS5. There are children who have never heard and will never hear of PS5. All they want is just food for their tummy. All they want is a house and somebody to call mommy and daddy. That's all. That's all. How great the responsibility of parenting. We cannot fail God. Say to yourself, we cannot fail God. I cannot fail God. I will not fail God. Now, under love, there's a place for affirmation and encouragement. Until your children come of age, you must continue to affirm on their behalf. You must continue to encourage them. So when PDA is saying, you're not saying anything, those are affirmations. You say it until it becomes a reality. These things are not joke. The Bible says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life in itself. So even when that baby can only do ba, 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 you are speaking spirit and life. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. You will never be hid. Your voice will be heard across the nations. You do valiantly for God. The kingdom of darkness cannot stand you. The child doesn't know what you're saying, but you are speaking spirit and life to that child. When that child comes to you and says, I cannot do it, you say, no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because you are born of God and you have overcome the world. You will not be taken or swallowed by the enemy. You must continually affirm on their behalf until they come of age and are able to do it. And when your child starts telling you, mommy, this thing is too hard for me, you encourage them. It's not too hard. With God, all things are possible. So is it with you. Everything is possible. But I don't understand what my teacher teaches. You understand. You have understanding. And God will make you of quick understanding because the spirit of excellence is upon you. The child knows that I don't have a choice. The choice is to pass or to pass. The choice is to understand or to understand. Because beyond anything, you are doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the child. You're doing it for the kingdom of God. If your child is the last in class, brother, no matter how much money you are gaining, no matter how many people are calling you sir in the office, you are not a happy man. You're not a happy mother. That's why you see a lot of parents relegating house help to go for functions in school. They are ashamed. They know that when the roll is called, they will never hear their child's name. You won't come first, you won't come second, you won't come third, you won't come fourth, you won't come fifth, you won't come out for best in morals. You have failed as a parent. If every session passes and your child cannot be recognized for something, you have failed though. I'm not saying your child must be first, but your child must be recognized for something. Praise the Lord. After the foundation has been laid, you now want to erect the walls. What are those walls you are erecting? Guidance and discipline. Guidance and discipline. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 15 says, a rod and reproof give wisdom. Let me back up a bit. We know the scripture that says foolishness is bound where? In the heart of a child. What does the Bible say will drive it out? Rod of correction. Don't go and carry one pole and start flogging your child and say, it's me that preach. That's what I told you. And I know Apidio will never preach that thing because he has never used rod to hit Princess Joy on her head. He says, the rod of correction. Rod of correction is not always cane. Rod of correction is prayer too. Parents, pray. If you say, I don't flog and flog and flog and need a hear, that means that rod of correction you're using is the wrong one. Change style. Talk. God gave you mouth. Sit them down and talk. Let me give us a funny story because it looks like I'm very serious. One time, my parents came up. My mother said, let's be doing family meeting. You know, we just sit and, you know, you guys just tell us what we're doing right, what we're not doing right. A mercy joy. Four of us, like, they all call for family meeting. We're so excited. We say, so this thing every month. My mother said, yeah. We say, ha-ha, glory to Jesus. If daddy says he will flog you 6 when you do something wrong, daddy will flog you 6. He will even wait patiently. Even if you do like this, daddy will wait. He will flog you 6. After he flog you 6, you have go. Mommy will not even tell us how much he will flog. He will flog all your body like Spider-Man. One night he was paining my mother. The next point, you say, daddy always has compassion. Sometimes before you cry, daddy will forgive you. But if mommy has said she will beat you, she will beat you. She don't need to go back, she will beat you. Two against my mother. The next one, all of us say, mommy so shout too much. Mommy so shout too much. Every time she will shout, she will not say, after 9 people say, I'm shouting. That was the end of that family meeting. See, God called my mother, we didn't have another one. That monthly meeting just ended. After that day, they just closed that chapter. We didn't hear the story again. There was no day that they called us. And you know, after that day, when she shouted, she now said, after 9 people will say that I'm always shouting. Is it not what we said in the meeting? So sometimes we shout, sometimes we flog, sometimes we pray. But remember that we're talking about parenting in a shifting world. There's so much that our hands can do. Let me put it this way. There's little that our hands can do, but there's so much that our prayer can do. Parents who will not spend out time deliberately, listen though, to pray for their children are not ready to build any godly legacy. You must be intentional about doing it. Taking out time to pray for your children. Set clear boundaries. From when they are small, don't wait till they are big. You not say, when they are big, make them grow small. There's no growing small. I tell people, like joke. You see my daughter, she started dressing better at 2 years. 2 years. We're not in Nigeria then. And she will do it happily. But you will see the bed will not be straight. Oh. Of course, she can't do it well. But at 2, she was able to do that. And I'll say, good job. Good job. Mommy is proud of you. At 4, it began to get better. At 6, comfortably she could do it. At 10, what are we talking about? Do you understand? There is nothing like they are so small. If a child is sucking your breast and the child bites you, You say leave and a small pikin. Shebi, when the pain hits you in your brain, you spank. No, if I leave and make it be small pikin, when teeth come, he chop and come out. He go bite and throw away for ground for you. Then that's when you know the pikin has come of age. I said, you remember I said that you even start affirming for them when they can't talk, right? That's how you start correcting them when they do, when you think they don't know what they are doing. But I can assure you they know what they are doing. Let a child go near socket. Give the child twat. If I see you there again, that child will not go there. But take the child there or let the child go there. He say, you know they hear something, bum boy. Stay here. Turn like this, bum boy is back there. You now go, bum boy, this thing go shock you. You carry him. By the next time you turn, bum boy has put his hand inside, thing has chopped off his fingers. But the moment you give bum boy, twat, if I catch you here again, that bum boy you think is not hearing as head. Bum boy has head and will never go there. Even if he wants to go, even if the devil is pushing him to go there, he'll be looking at you. Looking at you, as you say, if I. But you think they don't hear? No, they hear. Start nipping it in the bud when you can. Because it will get to a point that you can't do nothing again. And any attempt to bend, you break the child. So that child that is out there, I say, this one don't get papa, you don't get mama. No, he gets. Some of them actually felt that they loved the children. But they broke them and turned them into the monsters that they are in the society today. Parenting is a strong ministry. You cannot afford to fail God. You cannot afford to fail God. There are this set of people I want to address. Widows, widowers. Please, I beg you. There's no such thing as I'm just leaving them. You know, their father died. Let it not be as if they are missing him. My sister, you will lose them too. You know, their mother is not around. There's a way I will handle them now. They will feel the loss of their mother. Well, anyhow you handle them, they will feel the loss of their mother. At least I've been there. One thing I thank the Lord for is for my father. Even before my mom passed, he was a pastor. But I boast to say that he was a pastor as much as he was a father. He knew where to draw the line. He knew when to be pastor. He knew when to be father. At home, he will wear his boxers and his singlet and come to our room and sit down with us and be gisting and laughing. You have to be a father. Some of us are chasing too many things that we think are important, but at the detriment of the souls of your children. Because you see, after you have made that money, you come back and there's nobody to spend the money. There's nobody to carry that legacy. There's nobody to keep that company. Nobody. It's a wasted generation. They squander everything and everything goes. Will you be happy at the end of the day? You must strike the balance. When I discovered that I was pregnant for my daughter, my mother-in-law said to my husband, I have to stop working, one. Two, I should go and find a teaching job. Because it's a teaching job that will give me opportunity to look after the children. In my mind, they play. All the school I went to is to go and find teaching job. And it's not public school teaching. It's government school teaching where you have time. I said they play. But do you know that how, I don't know whether to say how God planned or how the devil planned it. At my place of work, they now say I had to go to Benin Republic for a 1 month training and they had to move me to Songhai Farms. First, my husband said the road to Songhai Farm is very bad. This is your first pregnancy. And it's less than, it's just barely 1 month. How will you cope? Babe, I don't think this thing will work. So I tried to convince him, he'll walk. You can employ a driver for me, so I'm not the one doing the driving. He said, okay. And then the letter comes, and then they say, I have to go to Benin Republic for 1 month. He said, it won't work. Long story short, I had to turn in my resignation, and he pinned me. Then my husband said, how much is the salary? How much is the salary? $244,500 a month. I'll pay you. I said, it's not about the money. I want to work. I want to do this and do that. He said, I'll pay you. Don't worry. You will go back to working. Men and brethren, that was the last time I worked in my life. In the corporate world. And it was painful. But you see, I spent all those years after, until 2018, just being with my children. And I tell you, it's the best decision I ever made. Not many people will have the opportunity because some of us just have to walk. But if you understand that this is a ministry that God has given you and you cannot fail, then you have to do some extra work to make sure that when you finish the secular one, this one, you pay attention to it. About it. Otherwise, you will leave your children in the hands of people that you are not sure of, and anything they give to them is what they will take. So will you rather be trying to correct, or will you be happier building and instilling the right thing in the first place? The choice is yours. Praise the Lord. Now, we always say that there's something about discipline. Discipline comes with pain. Anybody who does any gymnastic, anything, you go to the gym or you do your regular exercises at home, is that not discipline? You're disciplining your body. Doesn't it come with pain? When PDO tells us to come for 10 hours of prayer, is it discipline? Does it come with pain? When we do prayer and fasting, is it discipline? Does it come with pain? So every time you hear the word discipline, there are two types of pains involved. It's either the pain of regret or the pain of the discipline. There has to be pain either way. But if you choose the pain that the discipline gives you, you will rejoice. If you try to dodge that pain, you will suffer the pain of regret. There are no two ways about it. So if you think that your way of saying you love that child is to skip discipline, something is waiting for you in the future. It's the pain of regret. So I will advise you, suffer the pain that discipline brings now so that in the future you can enjoy or you can avoid the pain of regret. Praise the Lord. Now, in disciplining your child, consistency is key. Even me, I'm learning it. Not just with my children, but even with people that we work with. If you tell somebody that this is the consequence for doing this, and the person goes against the rules, please discipline the person. If you do it now, do it again. Be consistent so the person knows that you are not joking. Many children don't obey, not because they don't want to obey, but they've seen that over time their parents will do nothing about it. They say, my mom will just say it. My mommy can never flog me. My mommy, all back, no bite. And so they don't take us seriously. So if you say you're not going to use your phone for 3 days, collect that phone, put it in your room, lock the door and go away. 3 days, no matter how much it's paining you, keep to it. Keep to it. I have a friend that sometimes she will take the gadget away from her child. Even me, I will even be begging. Inception. I told the person that I will keep it away for 1 week, and it's 1 week. No matter what you do, 1 week is 1 week. But that is being consistent and making that child know that, look, I've set it. This is what it is. What it is. The child knows not to mess around. Praise the Lord. Then you go to installing the roof, like we will soon do for the children's church. And this is the crux: modeling and mentorship. You must raise godly children. If you must be solid in your parenting, you must model right. You must mentor your children rightly. Philippians 4:9 says, "What you have learned and received and heard." But it doesn't stop there. Who knows the next thing that follows? Let's have it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and... You know what we tell our children to do? What you have learned, what you have received, and what you have heard. We have removed and seen in me. Because sometimes what they have learned, or what we have taught them, what they have received and what they have heard is different from what they are seeing. And you know the most amazing thing? What they actually learn is what they see, not what they hear. It's what they see. And if at the end of the day, you think that what you are doing is showing them what other people are doing and telling them to learn from it, and you are not doing, you have failed. Because in essence, in the real sense of it, what they are learning is what they are seeing you do. And just this morning, something dropped in my mind. If this is like your ultimate test now, because I'm actually done. If at the end of the day, your children in this shifting world are in trouble, and they have the opportunity to call for help for 1 hour to be saved, and all they do in 1 hour is call for mommy and daddy, you have failed. If they have 1 hour to call for help, and all they do in 1 hour is call mommy's line or call daddy's line for help, you have failed as a parent. Who knows why? Who knows why? Who knows who they should call for help? God. So if you are raising children that can only think of mommy and daddy as their savior and can never think of calling God, then you're in trouble. Because they may call you and your phone is ringing, but you're not available to answer that call. They may call you but discover that they don't have credit, and besides, you're the one that recharges the phone for them, so they can't reach you. They may be doing their best to scream your name, but your name has no power, no efficacy to help them. But the Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. That's the only person that gives you the assurance. So in all, buy your children the best of clothes. Send them to the best of schools. Do everything that you can. Love them unconditionally. Affirm for them and teach them to affirm for themselves. Make sure that they are in the right company as much as you can. If you do not show them the true one who will be with them always, you have failed as a parent. Because a time will come, you may be no more. They will find themselves in situations where they can't reach you. Who do they turn to? Who do they run to? Whose name do they call? So if you do not show your children the way, you have lost it. When my dad was celebrating his 70th birthday, one of the things I said about him, that I keep saying about him, and even when Jesus calls him home, I will say about him, is that he's a man that left his children a strong spiritual legacy. He wasn't a very wealthy man. He didn't give us cars. He didn't build houses. in our name. He didn't have savings to hand over to us, but he gave us God. He showed us who our father was. I looked at my father, and without even knowing that there was any call on my life, I said I wanted to be a pastor. Just because I looked at him, and I saw that he modeled Christ. He was a good man. He was a good father. When your children look at you, do they want to be like you? When your children see you, do they run away or do they come to you? When you look at yourself, do you have anything that you can be proud of as a parent to say, this is what I have that I'm handing over to my child? When you tell your child to go and pray, do you pray? Do they know you as a praying father or a praying mother? When you tell them, have you read your Bible? If you give some of them the privilege, they will ask you, Mommy, when last did you read Bible? They will ask you, when last did you read your Bible? Some bold children will say, Mommy, I've never seen you read Bible before. You will not say, shut up. Come out here. When are they read? Did they know? But the truth is that you don't even read. Solid parenting is what we can only do with help from God. I need you to just look at all the things we have looked at and consider. That thing that you're doing with your child that you call love, is it real love? If you are not here today, can you say that I have trained my child in the way he should go, and I know when he is old, he will not depart from it? Until you're able to answer that question right, I'd like you to bow your heads and talk to God. And ask God to help you raise children in his own way. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you patience. Ask God to help you stay faithful to this ministry of parenting that he has committed in your hands. Ask that your home will reflect God's love and truth. Ask that your children will stand with the enemy at the gate and speak boldly because you have raised them in the way that they should go. Ask God to help you love and discipline your children in balance. Help you teach them the scriptures consistently. Help you pray for them. Help you teach them to pray. And above all, ask that God will help you lead them to him. Because that's the greatest legacy that you can leave for your children. And I pray that the Lord will hear us and embrace us for this ministry of parenting in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.